Now, clearly, as in every situation where human beings continue to develop and go off on their pathway, etc., there are certain superstars, megastars, and so on. And we've been blessed throughout Spiritual Marketing Awareness Month to be able to share the thoughts of many of these fine folk. But I'm particularly excited by the next contributor who's kindly agreed to actually join us now. Quite simply, an absolutely all-round wonderful individual, an awesome individual in so many ways. She'll be talking about the matters of clarity, courage, congruence, all of those key areas. We are, of course, are delighted to be able to say Angela Treat Lyon from Hawaii. Are you indeed there?
Hello, Alex.
It's good to speak to you, Angela, and I take it the weather in Hawaii is quite nice.
The weather in Hawaii is awesome.
Brilliant.
And Alex, could you speak up a little bit? Because I can barely hear you.
We'll just adjust that slightly, so that should hopefully come through. Yes, it's the magic of all manner of bits and pieces. Is that slightly better?
That's a little better.
Okay. Angela, if we can start by effectively asking you, what is, from your own perspective, is the magical thing about what Sheila's been putting together with Spiritual Marketing Awareness Month?
Well, I think that the most magical part of it is that for a long time, people have been craving spiritual marketing, but not really quite knowing how to name it. And it's like a volcano that's just barely reaching the surface. And I think that because Sheila has put together this Spiritual Marketing Awareness Month and named spiritual marketing for what it is, that she has kind of poked through the surface. And now that we're poked through the surface, we've come up and started to erupt, and I don't think anybody's going to be able to stop it. Thank goodness, because we've been needing it for so long. And it's interesting because yesterday I was talking to somebody who was kind of the old school type of marketing, and it struck me how completely different a paradigm it is and how out of date, outmoded, and totally out of integrity old school marketing is. And I'm so delighted to have this new volcano in our midst.
It is certainly very magical. I'm very impressed, Angela, from your own point of view, a professional artist, author, a host, of course, of the Dating Dreamers Showcase radio show. Many people would actually say, well, it's because you're a woman, you can multitask. How do you actually juggle all those fine commitments?
Well, sometimes I feel like I'm a little insane because it is so much, and it might be because I'm a woman, but I doubt it. There's a lot of men who can do a lot of things, too. But my kids are grown up and gone away. I don't have a husband, and I don't have distractions. So I just focus really, really intently on the thing that I want to do at the moment. That's really the big secret. Anybody could do it. I mean, my mother used to do all kinds of stuff besides bring up the family, but I don't think it's being a woman or being a man, it's just simply being able to focus.
I must admit, I was particularly intrigued by your commitment to the Great Pacific Garbage Plastic Patch Scam, with 85 million plastic bottles being thrown away, and hopefully solving that issue, which is great stuff.
Well, that's an issue that's dear to my heart. I'm a real ocean lover, and if you can picture a giant aquarium that's 90 feet deep and that would take you 4 days to drive across, that's a picture of one of the garbage patches, and there are five in the world. And if we could stop using plastic drinking water bottles, not only would we each save $1,500 a year, but it would save the 80% of the non-recycled water bottles from going to the ocean. So that's a big deal.
Indeed, I'm reminded of some work we've been doing with another set of colleagues in the States who are setting up a campaign for No New Plastic, which is nonewplastic.com. But let's move on to the message very much of Spiritual Marketing Awareness Month. And we've been really asking people to share with us their own life journeys to developing this. And the one thing I always like about your own emails that come through, Angela, is the notion that you appreciate, you know, welcome new subscribers, we appreciate you. And that's something we often forget, really, in terms of the appreciation we need for, you know, encountering other life forms on the planet.
Well, I agree with that. And I started doing that because I got a note from somebody else who appreciated me. And it felt so good. I just thought, oh, I need to add that to my newsletter because we don't get enough of that. People start batting on us for buying stuff. And it's, wait a minute, you can't ask me to buy something from you if you don't like me. You just want my money. So I want people to feel appreciated and like a valid, honored part of this life cycle that we're privileged to be a part of.
I'm reminded of the word namaste, which translates loosely, I believe, as we recognize the goodness and the godness in each one of us, really, in a kind of an Indian greeting from that point of view. Maybe it's that which perhaps we've forgotten.
Well, I think that you're probably right.
Have you been in Hawaii for the majority of your career, or have you moved to Hawaii? Because, I mean, for somebody who's obviously doing this radio show from Britain and we're putting things together, I have to say my experience of Hawaii is founded on three particular shows. Hawaii 5-0, both the original and the new version. Jack Lord, of course, an iconic person who I grew up with, Steve McGarrett. Magnum, as in Tom Selleck, Magnum PI, and latterly the Lost television series. So I'm just sort of interested in terms of, have you enjoyed the benefits of the latest American state, or one of the key American states for your whole life, or has it been something you've come to relatively recently?
Well, you know, I came here kind of by mistake. I fell in love with a guy who was a surfer, and at that time I didn't even know what surfing was, and I think if I had known I wouldn't have come. Not that there's anything wrong with surfing, but being attached to a surfer, you spend a lot of time on land watching them out there in the water and being by yourself. So I probably wouldn't have come, but I've been here since my early 20s, and it's probably 46 years that I've been here. Mm-hmm. And every time I go away, there's nothing that I think of more of every day than coming back to Hawaii. There's something about it that's just magic. It's just a lovely, lovely place. And mm-hmm. one of the things I like best about it is that the air is kind of yellow. Everywhere else I go, the air is kind of gray or white, and it's just a beautiful tone here, and it smells so good. You can always smell some kind of tropical flower, and it perks up my spirit. I think that's probably why I come back to it the most. It just feels like home to my spirit.
That makes perfect sense. You know, saying here was I just it was Hawaii 5-0 all those years ago that kind of first appealed to me about the Hawaiian nature. Trivial comment. You're also a very keen painter and a magnificent painter, it has to be said. And from what you've actually shared with us today, it would suggest that a lot of the inspiration for your work actually comes out of literally the surroundings that you find yourself in.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny because even when I was a kid, when I was growing up on Long Island, I would draw people with brown faces and wide noses and curly hair, and my teachers would say, nobody looks like that. And I would get confused because I had seen them in my mind, but I didn't really have any direct connection with Hawaii yet. And then later on when I moved here, I thought, oh, these are the people I've been drawing all these years.
And in many ways, that's almost a classic case of what, you know, a lot of our colleagues and indeed folk would actually say, it's a manifestation. You put the thought out there, it sort of went out into the universe, the cosmos, the stuff that we actually have, and lo and behold, it does manifest. It is something which seems so revolutionary, but when we start considering it, you think, well, it's a no-brainer. I mean, inevitably, what we think about, what we relate to, what we connect with, what we appreciate, manifests.
Yes, I think that's absolutely true. And that's also true why we manifest things that we don't want, because we're thinking about them and dreading them, wishing they wouldn't appear. And if they are focused in our mind, guess what's going to appear?
Absolutely. As we often say when we speak to our Florida correspondent, of course, Mike Dooley, his strap line, thoughts become things. Choose the good one. Choose the good ones, in fact, from that point of view. We talked a little bit at the start, Angela, about clarity, courage and congruence, the painting, the three pillars which are so much at the heart of Spiritual Marketing Awareness Month, etc. Would you like to just share with us, and this is always a nice one, which is why we probably recommend anybody who's listening to this to actually download it, play it in the background whilst they're actually looking at the paintings, etc. But would you like to just explain to us your philosophies and understanding of how those three C's in particular, the clarity, the courage and the congruence, you kind of interpreted them in such a magical way?
Well, sure, I'd love to do that. That's one of my pet topics there is, first of all, you need clarity to know where you're going. If you're going to drive to New York, you've got to have a map, because otherwise you'll end up in Las Vegas somewhere. And so you've got to be really clear about your dream. And the simplest way, if you don't know what you want, is to sit down and list out all the things you don't want. And just by elimination, asking yourself, well, if I don't want this, maybe I want that. Well, no, I don't want that, so maybe I want this. No, that doesn't seem quite right either. Let's try this. And eventually you'll narrow down to something that you really are passionate about. And then you've got to be really courageous to buck the odds, because there are people out there who are know-it-alls, and that's not K-N-O-W, it's N-O, because they'll say, no, you can't do that, you're stupid, you're a fool, what the heck do you think you're doing, who do you think you are? You've got to have the courage to be able to keep a back straight and your focus on your goal and simply go there and say, listen, you know, that's your reality, my reality is this. And if you have that courage, you can take the energy behind the fear and the doubt that you used to have and use it to create that new reality that you want and be really clear on it. Then, in order to go there, you've absolutely got to be congruent on all levels. And what's magic is that life will throw at you all the things that are unlike what you want in order for you to make a choice. So instead of saying, oh, no, it's not going to happen, I can't do this, you've got to take the bull by the horns and say, listen, I'm going to New York, and you keep wanting to bat me off the track and throw me in the ditch. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the fear and the doubt and glean the energy of it and use it in order to fuel my car, my energy machine, my body, and my life, to get to my goal, New York. So if you're congruent, those things fall away that would oppose you, and new things come to you that ordinarily you wouldn't see because you weren't aligned before, and they will support you and be your allies along the road to New York or wherever it is that you're going. Does that make sense?
I think it's sitting in so perfectly. I can just say yeah, it makes perfect sense. Again, it's that notion of it's reminding folk that somehow we've lost this or we've forgotten about it, but actually acknowledging that the thing is actually there, and it's not a hugely difficult process. I think an awful lot of people, that old classic line, the devil is in the detail. Maybe we create our own devils because we create our own details.
Well, you know, Alex, I don't think that it's so much that we've forgotten. I think that we've been beaten out of a certain type of consciousness. I think that the type of upbringing that we experience with our schooling and with the bullying, the teaching, the rigidness of the way we're taught, all of that serves to completely condition us in a way that is really handy for us to be little 9-to-5ers and have good little jobs, drink beer, and go to bed, and go up and do the next day again. And it's up to us to relinquish that conditioning and honor it, really, for having it drum into our heads how awful it is and that we really don't want it anymore in our lives and make new choices.
Precisely. I was writing a piece today, actually, Angela, which dealt with the notion that it's only about 150 years or so ago when people were actually claiming that it was only right that that youngsters under 14 should have to work an 11-hour day, and fighting for their rights to have a 10-hour working day was ridiculous. So we've progressed, but maybe perhaps not as quickly as some people would actually say in terms of recognising our own magic. Just coming to the end of the sequence at this particular stage, and back to your paintings as well, 100 paintings in 100 days. That's quite a challenge, but I think you can rise to it.
Oh, boy, challenge is right. I, you know, it's funny because I used to wish that I could just paint a painting every day, but I never had the time to do it. And when I got inspired to do this, to raise awareness about the plastic drinking water bottle problem, I thought, oh, this is great. I'll take all the images that have been hanging out in my mind and put them on canvas and get them out there. Well, at about number 50, I was going, oh, God, what am I going to do? I'm out of ideas. And I was so worn out, and I thought, okay, I'm taking a break. And it's interesting because during that break, a whole new slew of ideas came to me, and they were totally outside the realm of anything that I'd ever done before on canvas, and it completely re-inspired me. So the lesson there for me was, you know, don't push it. Take a break. If you need to take a break to get re-inspired, that's what you need to do, even if it just means taking a five-minute nap during the day, because a lot of people get inspired by simply lying down. There's a certain type of person who will reconnect with their dreams if they're lying down, but if they're vertical, that something energetically isn't connected until they do it consciously. So, you know, whether you take a year break or a five-minute break, take a break. That was the big one for me.
Absolutely. Angela, it's been fantastic. I mean, I'm particularly pleased that I managed to work into one of the Spiritual Marketing Awareness Month podcasts, both Thomas Magnum PI and Hawaii 5-0 with yourself. I know it's a trivial thing, but it appeals to me. Put it this way. That's the key thing. But we have to ask you two final questions. Of course, a reminder that your website is angelatreatlion.com. That's angelatreatlion.com. Details, obviously, on the Spiritual Marketing Awareness sites and so on. Angela, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us today at Southside Broadcasting?
Well, it's been fun talking to you, Alex. Thank you so much.
Excellent. So the next crucial question is, can we hopefully connect with you again, hopefully in the not-too-distant future, to find out how life is like in the glorious Sunshine State?
Thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
Angela Treat Lion, many thanks indeed.